Hello and welcome to our second ERC open coaching call for the month of May 2019. And we scheduled a second one just to make sure that folks who are in other time zones that couldn't make it at 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whatever it was, central time, which is somewhere in the middle of the night for Europe, we scheduled this today. So I know that Diana said you had a question that came up since the last call, and I actually don't see anybody on, but Gail, you didn't share much on that call, so we'll give you an opportunity to see what you need help with. So Diana, go for it.
Okay, just to follow up, we've got the dosage on the pregnenolone. I forgot to ask about the timing.
Good question. Pregnenolone, you don't want to do past 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Because you can interfere with GABA. So, you know, you don't want it to keep you awake. I would say best timing to start would be just morning. You want to do it a little bit away from food because it's a sublingual, but, you know, it doesn't have to be like a half hour, hour. It could be just put it in your under your tongue and then wait so that you don't mix it with your food. So wait, you know, 10, 15 minutes.
That's all the details I needed. I think that covers it.
Good. Yay. Awesome. Thank you. So Gail, what's up with you?
Hi. Well, nothing big, nothing new that I can think of. Just paddling along and eating right. Chewing, I must be chewing better because I'm not getting chunks anymore. Yay.
So that's funny. You're not the only one that's ever asked that question. I'm seeing chunks in my food. I mustn't have good digestion. I'm like, no, you don't have good teeth action, right? And we don't realize that because so many of us, you just go, and even, okay, I'm going to demonstrate. This is yogurt, right? This is cocoa yo. Now, I could just go, and it's down. That doesn't access any, it doesn't prepare my body, but it's easy to do that with because it doesn't require chewing. But this is how I actually do it. I don't chew it 80 times like I would with a piece of broccoli, right? But I chew it because that activates, that prepares, that gives a signal to the little receptors under the tongue, something's coming. So it prepares the rest of the digestive tract. And I do the same with a smoothie. So this is my breakfast. Right? It gives my digestive tract the idea. I used to not do that. I used to just sit there and I would drink down a 32-ounce smoothie in 5 minutes. And I'd wonder why people were telling me that it took them an hour or two.
Yeah.
Like, because they were doing it right and I was doing it wrong. So we learn by our own mistakes. So anyway, I'm glad to see that made a difference.
Thank you. Right?
And once our evolutionary development gets to the point where our stomachs develop little teeth, because really, we need it based on the way that everybody eats. I would say chewing happens here.
That's a good idea. Yeah. Thank you.
And you know, there's a study. There was an interview with a couple of people that survived being in concentration camps. Very few did, right? Because they either were killed and burned or they starved to death, right? But they were given like a ration of a slice of bread every day. And these guys chewed it to 100 times so that they could extract every possible bit of, which there's not much in it, but every possible bit of nutrition out of that slice of Wonder Bread or whatever it was they were given. They survived, the others didn't. Part of that is actually also putting attention on the digestive tract. Like, hey, digestive tract, you're supposed to be helping me here. You know, I'm focusing on you right now, not on reading the newspaper or correcting the kids' homework or washing the dishes. I'm focusing on nourishing me. And just turning that attention inward makes a huge difference, right? So, and then you enjoy your food more. You tend to eat less, right? Because you get the satiation signals a lot sooner. I find myself that way. You know, it's this, I want to eat. Like when we were at the retreat, you know, and this food is so good and I wanted to eat so much. And then I stop myself and go, if I just eat a smaller amount, but I chew it and enjoy it for longer, why do I need to eat so much more to get the enjoyment? You know what I mean? So it's just a lot of little stuff like that. That we learn. And there's Sandy. Hi. Good to see you. So we were just doing some check-ins. So I would love to hear a check-in from you because I haven't talked to you in a while. I do read your posts all the time on Facebook, so I feel like I'm keeping up with you. But I'd love to hear your voice. So.
Ah, you're so sweet. Well, I wasn't going to listen, but it's time to do my exercises. And so I thought, well, you know, the call's on, so I could listen to it now. Because what I've been doing, so I'm not overwhelmed, and it's really helping. It's just listening to the replays. So here I am with uncombed hair.
Me too. I just got back from a run.
Well, that's so, I know. I it's like I'm letting go of a lot of things.
That's good that you are listening to the replays. But also when you come on the calls, you know, like if you're listening to the replay, you may come up with something that triggers a question or a comment.
Right.
And nobody's there to be able to come.
I'll save it for next time. I'll Facebook you.
Yay. Okay, cool.
But I have had a lot of progress in a lot of areas. I just haven't written it up to share it with all you because I'm doing so many other things. But there have been a lot of good things.
Awesome. You want to share like one with us?
I'm trying to think of one. I'm trying to think of one right now. I think I've already said the one about I don't eat too much when I get up to go to the bathroom at night. I still get up 2 to 3 times to urinate at night, but I don't usually have to eat. And if I do, then I'll just have a couple nuts.
Great. That's a huge improvement.
Yeah. Now I'm still working on not eating before I go to bed. Last night I didn't, but kind of the reason was we went out to Mediterranean food and I tried something new. It was very good. My blood sugar was excellent, but it was too many spicy things. And so I had a lot of stomach pain. They were mild. I could sleep. And so at 12:30 when I woke up, I did the charcoal, which always works wonders. That's the only way I can do charcoal because I'm supposed to do it away from all this other stuff. So I do it sometime at night.
Wake up. You know, I would say if you are waking up in the middle of the night and feeling that desire to eat, do you grab some water first and just drink and sip the water?
And I could try that. I haven't tried that.
Try that or water, even if it has a little lemon or lemon oil or something.
Oh, okay.
And actually, sometimes it's thirst that wakes us up and we perceive it as a hunger.
Well, you know, sometimes I can't go back to sleep unless I eat.
Yeah. Do you ever take your blood sugar at that time?
Well, I know you've been talking about that and I haven't done it because I am sort of, you know, in the phase, I'm sort of half sleepy. And if I start doing blood sugar and doing all these things, I mean, I just get in bed and eat.
So here's the thing. You're waking up to go to
the bathroom. Then I'll be more awake.
But you're waking up to go to the bathroom. So you have to go and, you know, lift up the toilet, whatever, sit down. I would say leave it in there. Like if there's a window next to the toilet or on the back thing. And as you're sitting down, you just do that because you're a multitasker.
That's a good idea.
And you test your sugar. You don't even have to look at it then because you can always go back and look at it later.
Right.
But at least test it.
That's a good idea.
Right? And do it every time you wake up because then you'll see if there's a pattern to it plummeting. Is it going high? Is it just normal? You know, and that will give us a clue if it's a cortisol response that's waking you up.
I'm sure it is. That's really, really good. That's a good idea. I have been doing it before I go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So I've started taking it before I go to bed. And I've been getting some very good numbers on keto now in the 70s and 80s in the morning.
Great.
So yeah, that's a big improvement too.
Awesome. You know, the other option, if the blood sugar does turn out good, right, and it doesn't seem to be like a rapid rise in the blood sugar that's causing you, I would suggest perhaps, and we have to work it out with the company to see how we would do it, but with like a Dutch test, you can just do the adrenal part, and we can just say, look, we're going to try to figure out what's going on with this person overnight. So their analytics and graphs may not make sense, but we're going to just give you enough strips. You're peeing anyway, like, what's the big deal, right? You're peeing anyway.
All the time.
Every time you do it and then send that off to them to see what the cortisol levels are. Because I want to be able to rule out, you know, things, rule in things, right? Find out what's really causing you to wake up so often.
Well, it's this peeing, and we want to know why.
And is it because of interstitial cystitis? Is it because you have an irritated bladder and it just can't hold?
I've had so many tests, they just don't show.
They don't show anything. Are you peeing a reasonable volume, or is it like
it's a reasonable volume?
Okay, all right.
It's a reasonable volume. It's not so much all during the day. It's more at night.
And are you drinking more towards the latter part of the day than?
No. Sometimes I will drink before I go to bed, or eat some yogurt that's watery, or a salad or something. And it's the same. But it used to be only one time. Then it started to be two times. Now it's like three. But I think last night it was only twice last night.
Okay. So maybe it's getting.
So, though, for me, I could do the Dutch test, and I wanted to, but some other tests came in, got in the way, and some other things, and more things now are coming in the way. But anyway, it's okay. But the thing is, I'm looking at, I'm studying deep dive mold. I'm studying EMFs. I'm still studying all this toxins, chemicals. I am going to get a hair analysis test done and maybe do another test too, but I'm just going to, do a bunch of different things and
take your pace with it. But the thing about that, sometimes in the middle of the night, it's a parasite because the parasite.
Oh yeah, that too. Right. You said that. I wouldn't be surprised because they say we all have parasites.
Yeah. We all,
and I think it's true.
Right. And if you have the low grade amount that everybody else has, it could be contributing, but I would want to see if you've got enough that's going to show up.
Yeah, that's another thing. It could be, there's just so many things. And let's see, I just remembered a question I wanted to ask you, but before that, so I've got this endocrinologist, he'll only do two of the thyroid tests, and my the cytomel T4 to T3 always shows up not great. Well, I went on this other TSH that has really good ingredients, but it's not pig stuff. And I think pig stuff I work better with. But anyway, the TSH was like 0.2. It was the lowest it had ever been.
Yeah.
So I thought he was going to increase that medication, which is very expensive.
No, he would decrease it.
He decreased it.
Right, because when TSH gets that low, it means you're over-medicated. So he would decrease it to bring your TSH up to what, would be a more optimal range, which might be like, 0.5 to 1.
It's never even been 0.5. Okay. It's been like 0.78. It's been 0.78.
Okay, 0.7 is fine. But if that's medicated, if you're unmedicated and you have hypothyroidism, you're going to see that TSH shoot way up.
But see, now I'm feeling, the last 2 weeks, I'm feeling even more tired. So then I'm wondering, is this new new TSH, Tyrosin? Have you ever heard of Tyrosin?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
It's got very good ingredients in it. The best I've ever read. It's very expensive. But anyway, I'm wondering if that's just not working so good now.
Well, it's a possibility that if you shift and you get your thyroid working more, that you can be more tired because your metabolic rate is higher and you're expending more energy.
Hmm.
I don't know if you've noticed like an increase in heart rate, an increase in sweating, anything
like
that.
Yes. But the heart rate, especially because Cytomel, ever since I've been taking Cytomel, I've got those, palpitations and the heart rate stuff, which worries me because my heart was one of my good places in my body.
That could be hyperthyroid.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering about, all this stuff.
Yeah, so I don't know what your numbers are, but, let me know what your numbers are so I can see. If they only did T4 and T3, I want to look at that ratio. And
Should be able to find it. But while I'm looking, which I should be able to find. Do you think, soy is estrogenic. Do you think that flax is? Because now I heard flax is estrogenic.
It can be, but it's, they're phytoestrogen.
That's what I mean.
Estrogen.
Oh, phytoestrogenic.
Phytoestrogens, plant estrogen. Of course, you could still get too much of it.
But I still have a...
But I think there's just a lot of there's just a lot of food phobia out there. Let's just try to find faults with every food out there. Kale has arsenic in it. Rice has arsenic. Kale has what's that other thing in it? And you know, and all of a sudden, into everything everything.
Yeah, I know. Everything does.
You're like, what do I eat? There's nothing really left. Coconut, it's going to raise your cholesterol, and avocados are FODMAPs, and they may make your gut. And everybody thinks they have all the problems that these foods are creating. And yeah, if you've got a goiter or you've got some thyroid issues, you want to be careful around the foods that are known to change it. But it's also tested to see if it's you. Can't be a breatharian because the air is polluted. Right. Right. And if you just drink water, like everybody's going to disagree on, is it alkaline water? Are you drinking spring water? Are you drinking reverse osmosis water? And we can drive ourselves literally nuts. And that worry about everything that we put in can be actually worse than the food we're worrying about. Right? So I don't mean that we should just give up and eat M&Ms and just not worry about it, because I think that that's a silly attitude as well.
Yeah,
but we have to do the best we can and trust the body. What was it I was reading the other day? And it was about a study. And I'll have to find it. Where was it? I traveled so much and I've been, but it was a study where it was actually, I think I know where it was and I'll try to find it. But that was, they were actually testing the mindset of people around it. And people who felt like, I trust my body knows how to heal itself, I'm doing the right things, I'm getting better day by day. These people had better outcomes given the same therapeutic approach as another group who didn't have that attitude. So it really, for me, I trust my body.
Yeah.
And if I find myself doing bad things, then I'll go, what are you doing? Right? Why are you eating chocolate at 11 o'clock at night? Even if it is healthy chocolate, low glycemic, organic, blah, 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 it's still eating chocolate at 11 o'clock at night. And that's really dumb. Right? So, but not to worry about it.
Yeah.
Right? Although I will say the other night I was exhausted after coming home at 2:30, having my first call at 9, my last call ended at 9, got off with you guys. Maybe it was 8:30 when I got off with you guys. And I'm like, I felt this feeling like it was so unfamiliar. Like I was exhausted and I thought I was sick. I thought, oh my God, I'm sick. I had chills. I had achiness. I couldn't keep my eyes open. I thought I must be getting sick. So I went to bed at 9:30 and I woke up at 7 o'clock the next morning and I felt like my normal self, but I was worried. It was like, oh, maybe I'm getting a cold. Maybe I'm getting a flu. And I went, oh, screw it. Whatever it is. Take some golden seed. No, what did I take? Oregon grape and echinacea and just go to sleep. Mm-hmm. I did and I trusted. And mm-hmm. I woke up feeling fine the next day. I've been fine ever since. So a lot of it, really, we do have to say, we have this self-healing mechanism in our bodies, right? And it knows mm-hmm. what to do. It's just life gets in the way. The crazy belief systems that we developed when we were 5 or less, right? Those get in the way. Right? The crazy polluted environment gets in the way, but we have to take away getting in the way of ourselves. So we have to go back to believing in ourselves and going, oh, look, Gail, I just found out that the reason I had food in my poop was because I wasn't chewing it. And wow, it got better as soon as I started chewing. Wow, what a great revelation. Simple things like that, right? For me, oh, I was exhausted and I got 9.5 mm-hmm. hours of sleep and it was like a miracle. It's just the body doing its thing when you give it the right environment, right?
I think that's great. And you know, I'm very intuitive. Yeah. And so that's how I got a lot of my answers. And I really do trust my body. And for me, flax has been fine.
Great.
I never have had a problem. I never had a problem with any of the cruciferous stuff that they say don't eat because you're a thyroid.
No.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's really good. And, people want to know how do I learn to trust my body? And I don't really know how to teach them exactly. I mean, you have to listen. You have to really listen and be quiet and see what, and journal what food you eat, what activities.
Exactly.
And then, you know, like you're always talking about the pattern, and then just really look at it and,
yep.
And then go take a walk and the answer will come.
Absolutely. I love doing
that's what
I get so many things. And in the shower too, or the
shower or driving or driving. Yeah. Those are the places that I get it the most.
But it's listening, Sandy. It's listening and listening to differentiating. This is the hardest part. Differentiating between cravings and intuition.
Okay.
Right? If you have a desire, like if I'm like, I'm craving chocolate, what is going on? I'm going to ask my body why. Am I low in magnesium? Am I tired and I'm looking for the caffeine to give me a boost, right? Ask the questions, why? Like, I don't believe in giving in to M&M cravings, but I believe in looking at why do I have the M&M, am I craving sweetness in my life? Have I been denying myself of sweetness in my life? And then ask, what can I do in a healthful manner to give my body what it needs right in this moment? Right? And for me, it might be, well, maybe I'll make myself a cordyceps elixir with some coconut milk, right? Because, and you know, what's good source of magnesium besides chocolate?
Dark cacao.
But if it's late at night, it's kind of dumb to take cacao.
Oh, yeah. I don't do it. I do carob, but that's calcium.
Carob is magnesium, is calcium.
Calcium.
Yeah. So what else? So I'm going to put some green powder in there, right? Yeah. What can I do to provide my body with the needs? Because it's giving me a signal. Cravings are messages from the inside that something's missing or something is being overdone. And we just have to, like you said, learn to listen to it.
Well, those are some good points that I can remember to tell people when they want to know how to do it. Because I'm born naturally doing it. So, you know, it's hard to explain.
Some people are.
Anyway. It's hard for me to explain anyway.
Like just stopping. This is why meditation or heart math breaks or short little breaks where we just close the mind down and we just go inside and then we listen. One of the things I teach people, and it's a heart math technique and it's in the 30 days, is a technique they call freeze frame. And what you do is you're in a stressful situation and you stop and you do your quick coherence with the breathing and the appreciation. And then you say, how do I shift? How do I come up with a new perspective on how to handle this situation? Like, how could I respond differently in this situation? How could I respond more resourcefully in this situation? And then all you do is you stop. You're already in this state of appreciation and you've shifted yourself into parasympathetic. And you just listen and don't wait for words and don't like try to use your conscious mind to give you words because sometimes you may get a vision, a color, a sound that just comes floating in and jot it down. Don't try to analyze it. Just take it, jot it down and continue to listen. And then later you can go back and say, okay, what was this message giving me? What does that yellow mean? That yellow bird that has the blue head that just like flitted by and stopped and stared at me. What does that mean? Right? You may not know right away, but if you put that in your subconscious, what does that mean? And then you take a shower or go for a walk or, you know, do something that just gets you out of left brain. That's when we get the most insights, when we truly get out of that left brain over analysis. And I'm a big fan, you guys know, I'm a big left brain person. I'm biochemistry and pathways and all this stuff. But it's when we can marry the two and we can marry the intuition with that left brain. Somebody brilliant, I don't remember who it was, they were having this discussion of which was more important for intuition, the knowledge, the left brain stuff, or just tuning into the heart. And the comment was like, when you get an intuition and you don't have the hardware to run it through. You don't have the knowledge to run it through. You don't know what to do with that, right? But if I get an intuition about there's this hot spot on a person right over here, right? And I have no idea what anatomy is. I don't know where anything is. I can use my knowledge of anatomy to go, oh, there's her spleen there. There's her her stomach over there. Is there a spleen deficiency thing? Is there something going on energetically on that? What meridians go through that area? So I can take that intuition about where the problem is and then use that with my knowledge. That's why I teach you guys a lot of this stuff. You don't have to memorize all the, you know, I'm not going to test you on knowing where your spleen is. But the point is when you get those intuitions, you can then run it by the knowledge and come up with something logical to do with it.
That's sense? Good. I know. They're both important. One is not more important than
no.
the other. Yeah.
No.
I think they're both important.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I have my tests here.
Okay.
As I said, TSH was 0.02. Mm-hmm. And then T3 free, 2.62. And T4, 1.53.
Is that free?
Those are the only three tests he'll do.
And that's
just
free, yeah.
I just accept it now.
Okay. So we don't know what the total is that you're, you know, that's coming in, but we know you're on medication, so we could kind of figure that out. You do have an under conversion.
Yes, because I have for a long, forever.
Or is at the high end of the spectrum, like right at the top end of the ideal range. T3 is under, like 3 is at the low end of the ideal range. So it's an under conversion issue. So some of this stuff, yeah, taking Cytomel can be helpful as a temporary, but the reason we want to look at is why is that happening?
That's what I want to figure out.
Okay.
And it could be so many things. It could be so many things.
Right. And that's why getting some sort of Dutch or adrenal test is important here, because we want to see, are you under or overproducing cortisol? Because both of them interfere. If you don't have enough cortisol, you can't convert T4 to T3. If you have too much cortisol, you can't convert. It interferes with the enzyme. You can also have on the cells themselves, right? You can have inflammation that's creating it, cytokines, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that could be related to the mold in your body trying to fight that off. But it would be good to try to figure it out. It could be a deficiency of selenium, right? And I don't know if you eat Brazil nuts or are taking...
I do. Yeah, at least four a day.
Four a day. So
and now I'm taking the liquid ionic.
The liquid ionic minerals. So you've got a
mineral.
Lot of minerals there.
Yeah,
my
so
guess
I,
is
I started doing that. But then what can I do about it? Aren't I doing a lot of things already?
You probably are, but there may be very specific if we know like timing. Like I said, if you're waking up in the middle of the night, I would want to contact the Dutch people and say, look, this is what's happening. We want to get an extra coupons, extra little strips so that we can test throughout the night and then into the day
get
on the normal way.
Get
we can map it. And then there's particular herbs you would take at particular times to match where things are going. Or there's
okay, so get extra Dutch strips.
Yeah.
And so I can test at night 2-3 times when I get up.
Do you have a Dutch kit?
Nope.
Okay. So that's probably something Lynn or somebody on our team would be able to contact them and explain.
Oh,
and explain how to
do it. I'll work with Lynn.
Yeah. Because I think that would be an important thing to do. And there's a lot of people I'd like to do that with. So it's not like, it's just a rare thing. I wish that we could we could just say, I just send me 10 of those strips. Charge me whatever you're going to charge me to analyze them. I don't care about the report. I just want to look at the numbers and how the graph is. I'd love to be able to have the ability to like have enough of those strips to test through the entire day and whenever you wake up during, like not just every this hour, just like every hour. Let's just see what
the test happens. Every hour.
But that's no, we're not going to do that. But I'm just saying.
That.
In my fantasy world, that's the test I would like to create. Like
why,
we do with glucose.
Why can't I do that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, certainly we can. It might be cost prohibitive. We'll have to find out from them.
Okay.
But it's. I would love to have a little meter, right? A cortisol meter.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool? If we could just test our cortisol throughout the day, see how it correlates with our glucose and our ketones, and it gives us a little more control. But yeah, I think, you know, cortisol makes the most sense because you're on all the nutrients unless it's your lack of absorption.
Well, when I did that home test, then I lacked all the nutrients. And when I did the assessments also, I did too. So I finally started, taking things.
Yeah.
And I've only tested using the home test. I've only done it once. I haven't done the assessments again, but I want to test again because I'm also doing the zinc. I was definitely... needing the zinc.
When you, how long have you been taking the liquid minerals?
Oh boy.
Long time.
Two, three months.
3 months. Okay. Yeah. So we definitely, this is something we want to address. And the other thing is another reason for this is if we looked at the reverse T3 and saw that the reverse T3 was high, the ratio reverse T3 to free T3, that's basically your body putting on the brakes And when the body's dealing with something else, an infection mm-hmm. somewhere, mm-hmm. You know, some sort like toxicity, those sorts of things, then it's going to put the brakes on. It's like, no, Sandy, we can't give you lots of energy because you're going to waste it on going on hikes and doing all this fun stuff. And we need that energy for healing. Mm. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. So the last time I had all the thyroid tests was when I first started ERC. When was mm-hmm. that? August, I think, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is enough or to go something. On right now, Sandy.
Oh, okay.
This is enough to go okay. on. What, did you have any antibody elevated when you had those done?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mm-hmm. don't think so. I always kind of forget. I think the...
Because what your TSH is seeing the elevated T4. My guess is that the total T4 is high as well. That's what... If somebody has you on medication, they should be testing your total. Because we want to see
how he won't do it. So until I'm ready to do.
When are we going to retrain these endocrinologists to actually know endocrinology?
I know.
Sad.
He won't do it. So I've stopped fighting with him. Whenever I want to do it, I'll just pay myself. Like using Dr. Hopkins.
Yeah.
Or else
it on there.
Or else my functional medicine doctor who wants all the tests like you do done.
Yeah.
His aren't too expensive. Either I've just been waiting because I'm doing some other tests.
Yeah, so this is clear. The TSH is probably up because your free T4 is at the upper end. Likely your total T4 is up, even though there's two inputs, right? So the TSH goes, oh, let me read the blood. Do we have enough T3 and T4? Oh, we don't. Let me stimulate more. And then the TSH goes up. But nobody's really clear, and I read different textbooks say different things as to which more strongly impacts the TSH number. Some say it's T3, some say it's T4, but I've seen this situation where T3 is low, but the TSH is low and the T4 is high. And I've seen situations the opposite where the T3 is high and the TSH goes up. So I think it's just, you know, it's one of those things that we're never going to be able to get a real clear answer on, but I think that's what's going on. You're over-medicating, so the TSH is low, but your body's handling something else, so it's putting the brakes on.
I think so.
Converting the T4 down to reverse T3.
Yeah, I think I could take as much or a little medication as I wanted or, you know, whatever, and it wouldn't make any difference because it's something else, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. Now, you know, I'm doing... elimination of plastics because a test showed I had too much plastics in my body. So I've really been working on that. And Dr. Joe wants me to do another one of those, that test I had to look at it, how my liver's doing. I'll tell you another good thing. Well, two good things. I'm eating less meat because my body wants to eat less meat now, which is really good because I used to have to eat a lot of meat all day long to keep everything going. I mean, it just, you know, I had to, but now I'm eating less. So I'm happy about that because it was too much. Yeah. And I know I had too much.
And that creates acidity in your body and uric acid.
Yeah. Way too much, but I couldn't stop it. But now I can.
So something's shifting for the better. And
definitely is. And I think getting rid of, you know, less plastics is helping. And another thing I've been doing every day in my smoothie and protein shake is I put in, thanks to Diana Palmer, because she said she does this. I thought, hey, I'm going to do this because I want to work on my liver and I don't get sick on this, is a quarter teaspoon burdock root, a quarter teaspoon of dandelion root, and a quarter teaspoon of, why do I always forget what it's called? Some of it I take in some supplements, but
cool. That's going to support the liver in getting rid of the metal.
Milk thistle powder.
Good.
And I think that is really helping me. I don't get sick on it, and I've been feeling better.
Good. Well, yeah, that's going to give your liver more of a chance. So I think what we have to do, and our friend Jane Holtz from Sweet Spot said this best, our body's going to heal in the order it wants to heal, regardless of what order we want it to heal on a conscious level. It's doing the smart thing by balance, 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 and we can't control it necessarily, right? So I would just say, if you're feeling okay on this thyroid medication, then stick with it. But if you're getting heart racing heart from it,
more,
then I think you need to lower the dose. And if you're
But even when the dose of Cytomel was lowered, then I get more exhaustion, more fatigue, and I still have the heart palpitations. I still do. But at least I know what it's from.
Mm-hmm. That's probably what it's from.
I know it is. Yeah, I know it is. Yeah. I don't think the TSH ones did it. Only the Cytomel. I mean, I'd really have to go back through my notes and see when this started.
Yeah, I would guess that it was, but the Cytomel isn't working.
Well, it is helping with fatigue.
It is, but it's not.
But it's not converting.
I'm surprised.
But it is not converting.
It's not. It might be. I think that Cytomel is not. It's in a protein bound form. It's not deiodinating. It's not extracting from the protein carrier.
Hmm.
You may have too much. What have you had your estrogen tested to see if you have too much?
Not for a long time, but I know I am estrogen dominance.
Yeah, and estrogen dominance will create more of the thyroid binding globulin. So, you know, you really do need the total T4 and the total T3. So we could see the full picture of how things are converting.
Yeah.
Because there's different other hormones that get in the way and interfere. And estrogen is one of them. Testosterone is another. But you don't have the sign. You have more of the sign of estrogen than
dominance. Yeah. The Dutch test will tell me all that kind of stuff, right?
Yeah, if you do the full
test. I would do the full thing.
Yeah, do the complete, and then we'll see if they'll add on extra of the strips so we can just test the cortisol a couple more times overnight.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll do that.
Okay.
It may cost an extra little bit, but it won't be much.
Okay, I'll see about that. Okay.
Good stuff.
Thank you. Yeah,
questions lead to great discussions. So I love
pardon?
The questions or comments people make always lead to great discussions, you know?
Yes.
Give me an opportunity to get on my soapbox.
Well, you're good at that. You're very good at explaining.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to really dig into it and outline it, because I think next week, the 7th, is when we have the gold, and then we have another one that's elite. So you wouldn't be involved in that one. But I went to a seminar over the weekend, and it was refreshing because it was a relicensure seminar, and sometimes but it was on lab assessment. And I'm like, okay, I know lab assessment, so this will be easy. Plus I'll see if I can get some few pointers. And the guy was really good. He was like, I don't believe in protocols. And I'm like, yes, the man after my own heart. There's no protocols. Everybody's different. We got to look at what's going on. We got to, you know, edit. And what he did to figure out the optimal lamb range is, he's like, well, we could take what so-and-so said and so-and-so said. I want to see what the literature says. So he like combs through dozens and dozens of studies to find, like, in the healthiest of people, what were the ranges. So he's actually a little bit narrower. And he has really good explanations for, on a chemical level, what's going on. And then he had some really good distinctions on glucose and dysregulation testing. So I'm going to try to pull some of that together and do a little extra thing, probably for sweet spot, because it makes most sense for the glucose piece.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was exciting to actually go to one of these relicensures and learn something. That was a novel thing. I've gone to them, and I usually sit there in the back of the room with my iPad doing other work because
you're so bored.
25 years. Why, you know, and this guy was good. He was really good.
Oh, that's so great when that happens.
Yeah. It was. And he had the same attitude of, you know, you've got to fix the root cause. You don't want to just fix the lab. You always want to ask why. And he was like, I'm like, yeah, I have a whole thing, the power of why. We have to keep asking why. So it was good. We were aligned.
That's great. I am going to make it to Texas sometime for a visit to Dr. Nunnally's office and other things.
Okay, so, well, let me know when.
Maybe I'll see you. One of my fantasies is come over and cook for you and Scott, make some food for you and Scott.
I'll add that to my fantasies too.
Wouldn't that be great? That would be so fun. Kitchen show was excellent. I really liked, especially this time, because everything you made it very simple, and I think for the sweet spot people, that's going to really help them.
good
to have some more simple kinds of things.
Well, I got to taste some of it yesterday, and the salads were really good. So
was it really? Yeah, I bet it was really good. Yeah.
Good. Okay, good. I'm glad that you liked it. And thanks. You had something that you said that I liked. What did I say? Scott said, Sandy says such and such. I don't remember what it was, but I'm like, oh, no, yeah, that's right. So thank you. Yeah.
I wondered who was going to eat it all since
we didn't have the potluck. So I sent, Diane comes over and she helps out. So I sent the big thing of containers full of food, kept half of it for us. And, that's what we'll eat for the
next. Now you're eating it. Yeah. That's great. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Good. Oh, and that reminds me, those crackers need to come out of the dehydrator. Okay.
And the burgers. And the burgers.
They're still in there too.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. All right. I will talk to you guys later.
Thank you very much.
Bye now. Yeah.